So let me introduce to the Bible reading. Jesus was preparing to travel from Judea to Galilee, facing a decision on the route. You see, there are two options, right? A longer, a safer route through Jordan River. But unfortunately, you had to cross twice. So basically, if you think Judea is here, Galilee is here, you had to go this way, cross the Jordan, go that way, then again cross the Jordan, and then go up. That's one way. And the other shorter but riskier route through Samaria. You know why? Because it's rocky, it has got terrain, and the threat of thieves. They always attack. Despite the dangers, Jesus chose to go through Samaria. Do you know why? Because he had a divine appointment with a woman in the village of Sychar. So we're delighted to present a dramatic rendition of the profound biblical passage, The Woman at the Well. Join us, three people, I think, Chrissy, Steve, and Liz. So let me introduce the character. So who is the narrator? Bless you. Who is the...
Jesus.
You are Jesus, so bless me.
Yeah.
And you are the woman at the well. Bless you.
Jesus had to go to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to the town of Samaria, a town in Samaria called Sychar. Now the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the journey, sat down beside the well. It was about noon. Jesus sent his disciples to town to buy some food. A Samaritan woman came to draw water.
"Will you give me a drink?"
"You're a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?"
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
"Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?"
"Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
"Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw the water."
"Go, call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband."
"You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true."
"Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Woman, believe me, at a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth."
"I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us."
"I, the one speaking to you, I am he."
Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went at the well, went back to the town and said to the people,
"Come, see a man who's told me everything that I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?"
Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. People of the village said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." Amen.
Do you know, I have actually preached this particular topic in many places, but the rendition they have done is absolutely brilliant. You know, the only one regret, I wish I had recorded it. That's the only thing. Well done, guys. God bless you. So, I'm sure you know now that today's lection reading is about the woman at the well. I thought I would start with men at the well, so it could be, listen carefully. A reverend decided to illustrate the depth of his sermon, so he took a church member out to an old well. He dropped a small pebble. They listened, no sound. Then he dropped a big stone, still no sound. Then he picked the biggest rock he can think and threw it, and it did make a noise. However, within seconds, a goat came running out of nowhere and jumped straight into the well. Now stunned, the reverend and the member stared at each other. A farmer then ran up and asked, "Did you see a goat run past by?" They replied, "Yes, it jumped into the well." The farmer shook his head and said, "That's impossible because I tie him to a big rock." Right. So today, we journey to a well in Samaria, where a simple encounter with Jesus changes the lives of a woman and her village and offers a profound lesson to us as well. See, Jesus was traveling from Judea with his disciples to a village called Sychar. He had divine appointment with this woman, so he sent all his disciples away to buy some food. And then Jesus sat by the well at midday, tired, thirsty, but he waited. You know, before any miracle, any sermons, Jesus always waits. That alone should challenge us. How often do you think that he has waited for you to read his word? How often do you think that he just wants a thank you prayer for the prayer he has answered? Think about it. So, women normally fetch water together in the cool of the morning or in the evening. You know, the reason being they go together, have a chat. Wonder about their husband? No, I better not say that. Anyway, so, yet, this woman came at noon, alone, and Jesus was expecting her at the same time. So the minute they looked at each other, barriers stood between them. See, Jesus was a male stranger, and women don't talk with male strangers. And recognizable by the way they are dressed, Jesus was Jewish and she was a Samaritan. And you know, the vessels the Jews uses, the vessels the Samaritan uses are not used by the Jews. They consider it unclean. Yet, Jesus calmly broke every barrier. Right? What Anne said, ethnic, moral, gender, and religious. To gain her trust, Jesus took a humble role and asked, "Will you give me a drink?" She replied, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For example, in Africa, sometimes ladies have to walk miles on end to get water, right? Even then, you can't get clean water. Although we do not have any wells in this country, however, we have taps. Yet, our souls are born dry. We drink from carriers, relationships, social media approval, telephones, mobiles, church activities, but we still wake up thirsty for something for your soul. And then Jesus said to her, "If you ask me, I would have given you living water." Now, she didn't understand it, and I'm sure none of us would have understood what he said. To that she replied, "You have nothing to draw with, so how are you going to get water? And also, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well?" You see, despite Jesus' status as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the Creator, yet he was patient and humble. He said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst." Now, how often we have said, "If I get this promotion, I will be settled. If this relationship works, I will be fine. Or I feel whole if I get the correct amount of my wages. Or if I fix that habit, I will be fine and I'll be at peace." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty." Then Jesus said, "Go, call your husband." And she replied that she had none. Jesus answered, "You had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband." You see, she is ashamed and rejected by other women. That is why she likely arrived at noon to avoid them. They must have insulted her. But yet, Jesus did not shame her publicly. And don't forget, he sent the disciples away so that he can tackle this lady and have a discussion one-to-one without no disturbance and no insult from anybody. You see, there's nothing in our past surprising, okay? Please remember that. And nothing in our present that drives our Jesus away from us. It's only the devil who really tells you, "Oh, you've done this, you know, God won't love you." Ignore him completely. Nothing in this world can separate us from the love of God. Now, I want to ask you a favor. When you go home today, read Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Just think 8, 38 and 39, well, the last two verses. It goes like this. "I am convinced neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither present or future, or any other powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Plainly written, nothing in this world can separate us from the love of God. In a small northern parish, a woman who had not attended church for more than 20 years slipped quietly in the back. During the sermon, the minister said, "If you think that you have messed up too much for God to use you, you are exactly the person he's looking for." She wept and later said, I thought church for people who are sorted. I didn't know it was for people like me. Today, she helps to run a community food bank. Grace turns wells of shame into springs of life. Now, let's go back to the well. Now, realizing Jesus knew her life, she called him a prophet. Then she raised another barrier. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but Jews say that we must worship in Jerusalem. So Jesus responded that the attitude of worship is more important than the location, the attitude of our hearts, of our praise, of our worship, is more important than the location. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. That means you can worship our God anywhere. If you're going to sing in the shower, do it gladly. So then he said, salvation comes from the Jews. So the woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything. So Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Now imagine her shock. Now she just came to fetch water and met the Messiah, the God, face to face. Now she did not say to Jesus, well, are you the Messiah? Did she? She said, she was mocked by her villagers. They insulted her. They mocked her. Yet, she cared about them. That is what a person who loves God does things. She left the jar, ran back, and told everyone what had happened. So woman at the well might have been the first evangelist sharing the good news with her village. Although that village had not treated her kindly, she fulfilled Christ's commandment, the second one, love thy neighbor as thyself. So, as followers of Christ, we are also called to love our neighbor. Someone, somewhere, sometime led us to Christ. So many people today are ready for harvest. And it says in the Bible clearly, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Jesus is not looking outside, he's looking at all of you. So let us share the good news. So Jesus seeks the one lost sheep, the prodigal son, the daughter, who is out there waiting to be called into his home. In Luke chapter 15 verse 10 says that when a lost sinner, hear this, when a lost sinner repents, there's rejoicing among the angels in heaven. Just one sinner. If you save one sinner, there's rejoice in heaven. These are words written on rock. Think about this. Even after being whipped 35 times, if you're whipped 40 times, you're dead. 35 times Jesus was whipped. And while he's suffering on the cross with pain, Jesus saved a repentant thief and promised him a paradise. A lady called Fanny Crosby, I'm sure you heard lots of songs, you'll be singing lots of songs of hers. This is my story, this is my song. Yeah? Do you know, when she was 6 weeks old, she had an infection in her eye. And the doctor, I'm sorry to say, he gave the wrong drops. Put the wrong drops in her eyes, and she lost her eyesight. She was blind. However, she wrote 5,500 hymns. Father Thomas Biles refused a lifeboat lift twice when he was in the Titanic, but stayed behind, prayed for the ones who were dying with him. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, rode more than 250,000 miles on horseback over 40 years to preach the gospel throughout Britain and beyond. Do you know how many sermons he delivered? 40,000. Compared to him, I'm nothing. Billy Graham preached the gospel for 55 years and more than 2.2 million people in 185 countries has came to love Jesus. So if people work tirelessly for promotions and bonuses, how much more do you think we ought to try our best to serve our God who grant us not just life, eternal life with him? And you know something? I'll share you a secret. If each and every one of you just bring one person, I'll give you 1 year, bring one person into this church, right? There'll be 60 more people will be glorifying our God. And I'm hopefully coming next year, and I want to make sure that you've done your duty. Good. Now, returning to the evangelist, Jesus stayed with the Samaritan village for 2 days. Imagine, you don't have to look up to praise God. God is there in front of them. If Jesus comes here, just think about it, and spend 2 days with you guys. Think about it. What a joy it'll be, isn't it? Can ask all sort of questions which we know can't understand. Why is there so much drought in Africa where there is floods in this country? That's the first question I'll ask him. Like that, there are so many questions. And you can ask him. Anyway, what a blessing it must have been to worship in, you know, he's there with him. God full of grace. God full of grace used a sinful yet compassionate woman to bring salvation to her community. You see, although the scripture does not mention her name, she's come from an Eastern Orthodox and Catholic tradition, referred to her as Fortini. That's the name, Fortini. It's not mentioned in our Bible, but in somewhere in the Catholic version, it does say that. And you know, so there's a sad story behind it. Her testimony later caught the attention of Emperor Nero. After enduring torture for her faith, you know what he did? She was thrown into a dry well and died as a martyr. Horrible, isn't it? You see, you might forget this message, but never forget this. Jesus is already at your well. He's not waiting for you to clean yourself, but be honest with him. Open your heart. Talk to him as a father. He understands your story, your shame, your questions, your secrets, your silent tears. And still he waits with living water in his hands. If you meet him there, at your lowest and most thirsty, you'll find your emptiness was not a curse, but an invitation to drink from a spring that never will dry. And once you have tasted that water, you will never be the same again. The well you once avoided will become your testimony. So come as you are, live transformed, drink deeply, and then go, because there is someone else standing at the well. There's a massive queue waiting with hope to talk to Jesus. Amen. Now, you know, I told you I had a shoulder operation, right? So I'm going to try and sing this song, This Woman at the Well. Okay? Now, this song was written by Edith Sinclair in 1990. However, the last verse didn't make any sense to me, so I changed it. Right? So sing with me if you know the tune, or join with me when you capture the tune. Good. I like the picture. Nice. Well done. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things I could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasure earthly things afford. But none can make the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. So my sister, seek the one in darkness. Dear brother, love thy neighbor too. My blessed Lord will come and save you. Grant love and fill you with His grace. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Amen.